Go. Father, would you let your presence, your peace, your anointing, your favor be with us, be on us, and be in us this morning? Would you fill us so full with you that we spill your love and your joy everywhere we go? Let our cups run over in your presence. You anoint our head with oil. Our cups overflow, as David says. We have everything we need in you. What else do we want? You are everything. You are the King, and we are your kids. Thank you, Jesus. Be glorified this morning. Amen. In a world, in this world that we live in, we see there is a huge polarization with politics. And so I'm going to cut right through that with a warm knife on butter this morning. Say we don't belong to any of this left and right. We're a part of a monarchy. We serve a king and we're heirs to that kingdom. And that supersedes everything else that we encounter and face in this world. We're part of a monarchy. We take our orders from heaven, from our God. And then from that, everything else trickles down and falls into place. So I have some announcements from Pastor Mike before we jump in. I'll pull up our text messages. We always could use volunteers for kids' church, which means we need a couple adults that can act like kids to raise the kids up to act like adults. In Jesus' name. There is no prayer meeting this week in Bishop. Hopefully again the following week. Then the next one says, Saturday, June 4th, we will be gathering at the fairgrounds to do a prayer walk, like the Israelites did around the stronghold of Jericho. We're going to prayer walk around the fairgrounds before 6 p.m. when the Pride event starts the following weekend. I find it interesting that it's called Pride Month, when God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Very, very interesting, the use of vocabulary there. He says the fourth. Do a prayer walk around the entire... Oh, at 6. Okay, sorry. My bad. At 6 p.m. So it should be a lot cooler the end of the day and not in the heat of the day. If you have a trumpet, feel free to bring a trumpet. Flags, shofars, whatever you'd like. But we're going to just go bless the land because we were commanded to subdue and take dominion. All right, so the announcements are done. My name is Richard. I'm filling in for Pastor Mike, El Capitan of this wonderful ship. Come on. And then I don't know what position I'd take as a ship. I'd be a ship's mate or something. Boatswain. Yeah, I don't know how to say it. Thanks, Bendy. Oh, yeah, because I belong to a king. All right, so this morning there is going to be some words spoken. Last time he asked me to share, God gave me a word, and it was about not bowing down to the pressures of politics. And I gave the example in that story about our friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were formerly known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I did the inverse there. You see, their beautiful Hebrew names were twisted to bring glory to pagan gods, but we're calling them by their Hebrew names yet again. They did not bow down, and nor did Daniel cease from praying when the command went out, because he knew that he was part of a kingdom, and that superseded the kingdom he lived in on earth. And as we keep going, just you'll have to forgive me. My voice is human, but it sounds like a horse. Grace made frog soup, and one of the legs is stuck in my throat last night. But in reality, the pollen is calling because it's the season. I keep telling it's the wrong number, but it just keeps calling. Whoo! Anybody else having sneezes from Jesus? Yes, you're making Kleenexes dance by putting a little boogie in it. I just felt very affirmed because Judith laughed. Thank you. So today's this encouragement is called boundaries, the battle for life. Mike and I went on Tuesday down to Independence to the Board of Supervisors meeting. And that was very intense. We went with Howard, who is his father-in-law, and Jay, who is big, lovable Jay from Bishop. And a few others from church were there. Joe Mulligan's wife, Michelle, Roxanne, Wayne was down there. We had Wes. Yeah, Wes spoke twice. He double dipped. That was good. But my goodness, when we, even just driving into the parking lot, the spirit of oppression and hatred and anger was there. There was a very coordinated group of individuals with their shirt to push their agenda, and they did not like anybody else. We were the dissidents, yet again. We pushed against their agenda. We pushed against it because the agenda we follow is simply just the Word of God. And what he speaks is the truth, and that doesn't change with the days that we live in. In fact, our friend Solomon even says, there's nothing new under the sun. Right. The perverted and weird things we see today are the same that they experienced back yonder. Sodom and Gomorrah. We were just inundated with this oppression, but we went in there. We filled out the cards, and we got called up to speak, and both Mike and I just shared from our hearts and shared our experience with what's going on in opposition to an agenda that's being pushed that then further makes our children unsafe and our community more vulnerable to perversities. But it was as though the board already made up its mind and just as they wanted to even sneak it through already without giving anybody notice. The same board that also has provided funding for this organization with our tax dollars, yeah, that didn't even make a public announcement to get the vote, tried to sneak it through, yet there was a good holdout, some good individuals standing for truth and righteousness in opposition to this, but it was like it fell on deaf ears. It didn't, because when you bring the truth out, it's sticky. The Word of God is sticky. It changes things. We may not see that. Like God says to Isaiah, as the rain falls down and waters the earth, so does my word go forth from my mouth. It accomplishes that for which I've sent it. It does not return to me void. And yes, so we brought it. We brought his truth there. So that's a preface to what we're sharing, what we're going to be encouraged and built up together with this morning, is we're in a fight. We are in a fight. And we're going to stick together, and we're going to stand up, and we're going to be the church, and we're going to stand for righteousness, and we're going to stand for truth. Because the only other thing is death. We don't want to be on that team. So, let me read from you the first page of this good book, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God gave us dominion over the creeps too. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. That was nice. How poignant. Male and female. Wow. Wow. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful." Yes, that's my favorite part. "And multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So we are going to digest this. We're going to chew on this as a hinge point. This is the first chapter of the only book that can change your life to this extent. This book tells us the way of salvation. This book tells us what truth is. It's the ontic point of reference that we have for our morality in our Christian worldview. This tells us what is right and what is wrong because it's transcendent. It was defined not by a person, but by God. And when it's defined by God, that means it's not subjective, but it is objective. And when it's objective, our subjective baloney can just get flushed away because we know the objective truth, that God is truth, that God's word is right, and that's where we get everything from. It doesn't change with today. It is not subjective on our feelings, our emotions, our attitudes, on none of it. Does that make sense? Cool. Male and female. Before I state that, there was a fella, I'll read you his name, and I'll pull it up here. Next page. Oops. Roger Williams. He was the founder of Rhode Island. He's the one that coined that phrase, which Thomas Jefferson later... No, not Thomas Jefferson. Who was it? Thomas Jefferson. The separation of church and state?
Yeah.
So Roger Williams, the reason that he said that, and this is really beautiful, it was... Founder of Rhode Island was the first public official to use this metaphor. He opined that an authentic Christian church would be possible only if there was a wall or hedge of separation between the wilderness of the world and the garden of the church. You see, the politics ought not to affect, or the government ought not have its hands in the church, but the church can have its hands in the government. Yeah, but the government got scared and said, wait a minute, we can't have our agenda. We can't live in our narrative if the church is alive and active, so there just needs to be a separation altogether. And as we saw a couple years ago, let's just close the church because they have dissenting views to what the government has to say. So, it is our job as believers to be involved in every aspect of life because we stand up for truth and righteousness. Yep, we're the ecclesia. Amen. So, as I talk about this stuff, it may seem very political. I'm just speaking biblical. And we can transpose that into our lives in every dimension, including politics. So, God made male and female. And while we were at this event Tuesday, it was amazing how many individuals were even getting confused with the acronyms for what the agenda was being pushed. I don't even know if I have it right, but it was something like LGBTQ2A+. And what the heck? And there were even people in the group were butchering it. Those advocates for it didn't even say it correctly. But see, what happened was God created life, and the devil's job was to take the life, invert it into death. So everything that we see in this command that God gave us in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, have dominion, is now perverted. The enemy wants us to not be fruitful, because how can you be fruitful when you are in this lifestyle of an agenda that's being pushed? Because there is no life that comes naturally in that cycle. A man plus man, a male elephant plus a male elephant, to keep it PG, has never produced another elephant. There has never been an intermediary species of a male, human or animal, ever being pregnant. Ever. That has never happened. Darwin even said in the book of Origin of Species, in the Origin of the Species, he says, if there could have been proven to have been anything that could have evolved without successive slight modification, then my theory would absolutely break down. It did break down. It's totally broken down because you have examples upon examples in the wonderful creation of God. Every part of our body and every creature he created. But you never see a man that's pregnant. You never see a male plus a male producing life. And you never see a woman plus a woman producing life outside of a scientific intervention to make that happen. Which was an unnatural process. However, it's been used as a blessing. Because some people that couldn't get pregnant naturally have used that in vitro fertilization. What a blessing. But we see it being twisted now. See, life to death. Male plus female is the equation for life. It's the anomaly of mathematics. 1 + 1 = 3. Get it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, 1 + 1 plus Barry Manilow. Marvin Gaye, whoever. It was male and female. And you see that example in procreation, in pollinization, and in fertilization. Mm-hmm. Pollinization takes a union of two opposites. A stigma. I had it in my notes. I won't find. Oh. A stigma with its angiosperms combined creates a fruit. Isn't that cool? A flower produces a fruit in a lot of cases. Apple trees, apple blossoms. Apple blossoms, apples. Yummy. Not oranges. Amen. Designed that way. Life by nature gives life. That's how God designed us and this world. To propagate. Is that the right word? To continue life? Every seed after its kind. Amen. Male, female, fruit upon fruit upon fruit. It always produces life. And then the enemy comes in and he turns it into death by perverting and twisting and inverting that equation of God. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and conquer. The enemy wants us to submit to him where there is no life. The enemy wants to stop everything good and pervert it. We're on the side of life, right? Amen? Amen. Okay. So, male, female, our job is procreation. Be fruitful and multiply. And what a wonderful gift that is to us. What a wonderful gift that is to marriage and to the context of marriage in a marriage union. You see, in the context of how God has created it, it's such a blessing. There is no shame and there's no hiding. And then there's no adverse consequence where we say, we've produced life, but now let's get rid of it. 70+ million babies have been aborted since the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Was that 1973 or 72? Somewhere back then. But what we didn't know, or maybe what we know, is prayer was taken out of school. And was it 72? The Ten Commandments and prayer. Maybe it was 71. This is good, Earl.
It was a Bible, no Bible reading by a teacher, 1973, 72
in prayer. 1980 was the Ten Commandments. Okay. That's awesome. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Earl, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Thanks, Earl.
Yes. So, when prayer and the Bible were taken out of school, immediately you saw cases of suicide jump and you saw teen pregnancy jump. Thus, abortion jumped, pornography, and all kinds of perversity spiked when truth was removed from education. That's powerful. Yeah. Sadly. Amen. And that's... Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You see, they've been chipping away because the church hasn't stood up to be the church. And now we're not pushing against these gentle, small things. We're pushing against huge, huge demonic agendas that are coming at the church, where it's very easy for us to go home and just be in our house and read our Bible and let somebody else do it. But we can't do that anymore. It's not the time. We have to stand up. We have to fight for life. The giant. Ah, good point. Yes.
It didn't take much when David stood up.
Yeah.
It's because all God is looking for us is to start to stand up. And
yep.
He will come to him.
Amen.
Yeah. So it's not that this is, we don't need to look at it as a monster. And I've just got to change it. Because God, it's everything small in God's eyes.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And that's right. It took a little kid with a little stone to knock down the biggest thing. Fling that sling. I belong to the King. Now I'm going to sing. And that's what he did, right? Thank you, guys. Yes, so I appreciate the commentary because this is for us together, collectively. Subdue, to keep it under our feet. Subdue. He gave us command to do that. And what does the world come to do? Let me look at my notes. To subdue was to submit to the climate change agendas and to these political agendas and to these perverse agendas. It's not under our feet anymore. It feels like it's being hung over our heads, like, ha-ha, we're taking over. But guys, this is important, and I wrote this down. This is another nugget for us to be praying into. To fill the earth and subdue it, there's some big names that have... that are the antithesis of fill the earth and subdue it. There's a Bill Gates. Bill Gates is actually quoted in saying, and I'll read this because it's so interesting. He says, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. If we do a really great job on vaccines, healthcare, and reproductive health, we could lower that by 10 to 15%. He says that. He says that. Now, Bill Gates studied or was mentored by a man named Henry Kissinger, who was a statesman for 60 years, the recipient of a Nobel Peace Prize, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and the Medal of Liberty. And Henry Kissinger said, I'm not going to read all of this, but it was a call for depopulation because there's too many people on earth. We need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of the ones that don't matter. What? I'm glad you're still here. You see, that's the same thing in Pol Pot's agenda, the twisted man from Cambodia back in the 70s. Pol Pot got rid of everybody that wasn't a strong young person. If you had glasses, if you could read, if you were bald, if you were handicapped. Yeah, eugenics, exactly. He was against those people, and they were the first to be wiped out in his bloody regime of the Khmer Rouge. Here's Henry Kissinger, a statesman of the U.S., who was a mentor to Bill Gates, talking about the importance of depopulation. Here's Bill Gates, very influential in the world, a very wealthy man, talking about depopulation and promoting it. Now, Henry Kissinger was also a mentor to a man named Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab runs the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab's mission is also to lower the population of the world. And not only that, but to rid the world of Western values. He's actually talking about the Judeo-Christian values, the sanctity of life, truth and righteousness, morality. He is trying to rid the world of that, and that's their agenda by 2030. Ain't going to happen, because David's going to stand up to Goliath. David's going to stand up to Goliath. We are going to stand up to this and say, no, not happening. We stand for truth and righteousness. And if you need to take my job away, take it away. That was a fear that I had, even going into this thing down in Independence. Maybe some of my clients are there. Maybe this will get spread. Maybe I'll lose work. So what? It's just money. My God supplies all of our needs by the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. When will that change? Never. When will He let the righteous go hungry? Never. When will He fail? Never. Our God is always for us, so we can always stand up for Him if He is always standing up for us, right?
Yes.
Come on! Gosh, I get excited about this stuff. World Economic Forum, they made it clear that their agenda by 2030 is this. And I've read this to some of the guys in our dude group, which happens every other Monday night. Not tomorrow, but the following. In case you need a dude group to join. We talk about faith, family, and firearms, and it's fun. The World Economic Forum says in their 8 predictions for 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. The U.S. won't be the world's superpower. You won't die waiting for an organ donor because they will clone organs. What a perversion to God's plan. You'll eat less meat. What a perversion to God's plan. He says all cattle, bird, and fish is under our feet for us. It's there for us. It's there for us. Now, no offense to vegans and vegetarians. I appreciate that somebody could live healthy on that diet. But God says, these are all for us. Okay. Yeah. Have you ever cooked bacon around a couple rabbis? A billion people will be displaced by climate change. That's a kind way of saying a billion people will be wiped out. It's such a lie. By climate change. When did the creation become God over the Creator? The Word even says they glorify the creation over the Creator. That's not happening on our watch. We glorify the Creator. Because He's the one in charge of the wind, the rain, the snow, the sun, the moon, the cycles of harvest. He's the one in charge of all of it. Yeah, and if you look in the sky today, you'll see grids. There's airplanes up there that spray lines. They're called silver iodide by a company called Weather Modification Incorporated, hired by mountain ranges to precipitate snow or moisture. It doesn't cause rain to happen. It only helps to precipitate any moisture that's in the atmosphere. So now we're covered in a haze of silver iodide. Is it good for us? I don't know. You can't find any information about it online. I don't know why, just like you couldn't find any information and truth that we were posting online about stuff that was happening. I don't know why. When we tried to share good things, it got shadow banned. So why can't we find info about this? I don't know why. Yeah, it's a... You wonder why cars oxidize so fast now? Oh my gosh. And fires? Oh my gosh. This is crazy stuff. And it's out there today when we were driving down to church. We saw the grids. You'll see grids over mountain ranges. They have cannons in Colorado that shoot out silver iodide. They have planes in California that do this across the mountain ranges. From the Rockies to the Sierras, there are planes all the time. Anytime a low pressure system comes in, they spray this stuff to precipitate moisture. Can it cause, or keep it from happening, to deflect it?
The reason it happens, though, is we've used fire suppression to stop the way God created the earth. And instead of fire management and burning all the undergrowth and everything else out, and it just keeps piling up. So when we have a fire, it's so intense, it's unbelievable. And they can't put it out. It really creates a firestorm.
Yeah.
I was a fireman. I'm just telling you right now, what they're doing is they are trying to create an excuse why the weather is changing. But the weather isn't really changing.
No, it isn't.
Like they say.
It's us.
Sorry, I don't mean to take over. I'm trying to take it. But what the weather...
No, it's okay.
What the fires are supposed to do is create the rain. See, the smoke goes around the earth, brings up the moisture, and then it rains. Well, if you suppress all the fires, you don't have the rain.
Yeah.
So what they do is they just hold all this stuff down, and they say, well, you know what? This is the way we're going to do it. They know what they're doing.
Exactly.
It's all
exactly.
Corrupt.
Yes.
So we don't need to worry about any of this, though. We need to go to Him.
Amen.
Every time. God is in control. control. He's waiting on us right now.
Amen.
Declare my word.
Amen. Thank you. Come on. So again, this is not about politics. This is about us standing up for what's right. And it looks like it's politics because that's pushing against our belief. So we're just going to stand up and say no. I'm going to stand up for righteousness. You're right. That's a good point. Sure. Thank you. Woohoo!
That's that old mindset that's trying to keep us in the box.
Yeah.
Think you're sensitive.
Don't worry. Yes. Good point. So there's the climate agenda. There's the let's wipe out a billion people. Then you could be preparing to go for Mars or prepared to go to Mars by 2030. That's out of this world. That makes just as much sense as sending $40 billion to a country right now when we're struggling. When we don't have any baby formula. But it's all at the border. Yeah. Western values will have been tested to their breaking point. That was the statement on the website of the World Economic Forum. Western values tested to their breaking point. That's us as believers. Tested to our breaking point. How many soldiers stood before Goliath of Israel? How many? Well, not just David. How many were there? How many were there? And how many Hebrews were there commanded to bow down to the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar? Thousands. How many stood up? Three. Yeah, three. How many people of our ilk, to use a bovine term, of our herd, how many Christians stood up to what's been pushed at us the last couple of years? There's Cheon who said, no way, you're not shutting down the church. And he sued the governor and he won. Pastor Mighty Mike, here. We kept going. Sean Foyt. Kept going. The church we were going to in San Diego before we moved up here, that pastor came out and made a news release saying that he doesn't support and he condemns what Sean Foyt is doing in San Diego. Like, what in the world? This was a place where we were comfortable and safe and worshiped the Lord. How can you say no to this? And it was exposed immediately. Whoa, this is bizarre. And another little church that we went to. See, there was a Sunday night and a Sunday morning. We show up. You can't come in unless you sanitize your hands and put on one of our masks. Are you kidding me? No way. They wouldn't let us in the door unless we sanitize and mask. What the heck? Guys. We're called to live to a higher standard than this. We're called to live outside of fear. For perfect love, our Jesus cast out all fear. For the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. The Lord did not give any of you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Power. Power and love. Wisdom. Now when you apply those together, we're unstoppable. If my God is for us, and I walk in what He's given me, then who can stand against me? We are more than conquerors in Him. Remember, we don't need to fear losing money. We don't need to fear losing our jobs. We don't need to fear any of that because our God is for us. He will never fail. And if you think He will, just grab arms with somebody else. Say, I need help. I believe, but help my unbelief. I want to trust that my God will take care of me no matter what. I want to stand up for Him and for righteousness. Okay. Leviticus, Levi, Tychus, chapter 18, 21 to 22. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire of Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. That's in the beginning of the book too. but it was happening because it was spoken of. You don't tell somebody not to do it if nobody is doing it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like yeah. If you get gasoline on your fingers, you don't tell somebody like, hey, if you get gas on your fingers, don't lick your fingers. Nobody does it. So therefore, you never hear anybody saying it. Even your kids. You don't have to teach your kids not to lick their fingers if they get gasoline on them, because it's just repulsive anyway. But they were doing it in that culture. That's why it had to be said. Nor shall you mate with any animal or defile yourself with it. That stuff was happening too. And just as it is today. Nothing is new under the sun, as King Solomon said. Now, we'll go to Romans. It's towards the back of the book. Page 993 in my book. Romans 1, 18 through 32. Here's Paul saying it. Now he's addressing a totally different population. New Testament as opposed to Old Testament. The world was wiped out in Noah's days because of the perversion and the unrighteousness that filled the earth. Yet it still persisted, even though we had a fresh start, and it was seen yet again in the New Testament. This is a long one, but I won't read all of it. But I'll read verse 24. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. It's perverted now with the world. Worship the body of the person. Worship the world. Don't worship God. Therefore, God gave them over to the uncleanness of their flesh. It's going to happen. He speaks of it. It's there. Therefore, if it's there, then it's the truth, right?
Yeah.
Now we, as believers, are we better than they? As Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 9, not at all. For we've been there too. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 says. But we grabbed a hold of the loving arms of Jesus. And when we did, we were welcomed into new life. We were now transformed. The old man is gone and the new is here. I am no longer that person. I am a son of God and an heir to the kingdom of heaven. You cannot look at me and say, oh, there's Richard, the sleaze bag, because I'm Richard, the saint. That's what he calls me. Isn't that wild? But it's hard for us to identify as that because it's really easy to put on the old identity and relate to the world that way. That's the way they want us to live, in the old man. But the old man's dead and he stinks. As Pastor Mike would say, he stinketh. He stinketh. So, let me touch on this Molech thing really quick and the Sodom and Gomorrah part. So Molech was a pagan god whose head was like an ox and his body was like a man. In Numbers, I think it's 24 verse 8, it likens God to an ox, saying he hath, as it were, the strength of an ox. Or in the King James Version, it says a unicorn, which I think is kind of cool, referring to an ox. By much increase comes by the strength of an ox. You see, back in those days, you could not plow your field without an ox. Ox meant crops. It was good. You had life. And the more ox you had, the more crops you had, and the richer you were, the better off you were. Ox were valued. Why do you think the children of Israel, when Moses went up Mount Sinai, why do you think they built a golden calf, a golden cow? Of all things to worship, you pick a cow. A cow.
That's what India is.
Yeah, it's crazy. I finally figured out what the cows and bishop are saying in the summertime, by the way. It's hot. Hot. They chose a golden calf because a cow produced a lot of life for these people. Molech was a god of the Canaanites and many others who was built like a man cow. What he would do was he'd be built with hands of metal. I don't know what kind of metal. And they'd heat the hands until they were fiery red. And this is historical. You can actually see this stuff on Nat Geo, our wonderfully conservative outlet of information, who actually once reported on an ark being found on Mount Ararat, who actually once reported on chariot wheels being found in the middle of the Red Sea, who once reported on Molech and the vases that children's bones would be stored in. What they would do was, in order to get rain and to have favor for their crops, the families would take their children to the hot, scalding hands of Molech and place their hands, or place the child, the baby, on the burning hands of Molech. And then they would save the bones and put them in a ceremonial jar. They'd burn the babies alive. We're not that bad yet. Can you imagine if that's been happening? Oh. Well, they're doing it, but... Oh, yeah. There's some weird stuff happening on a state that's deep. Yes. On the state. So, they did that. How gnarly. Like when you hear your baby scream in pain, it invokes like an innate desire to want to help them. But to violate that is just death. That's the team of the enemy. Yeah. And you hear that's the same attitude you hear nowadays. Even one gal saying, what you got to do, ladies, is just take that little thing right out of you. But she used a stronger word in regards to abortion, as it was a good thing, saying that it gives life. Abortion is life, is what they declare. That seems a little perverted. It seems inverted, right? My goodness. But see, what they faced back then, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. They did that back then with their kids, and we're doing it today with, not us, but the culture is doing that with their kids. And it's supported. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll kind of come in for a landing here. I'm circling the landing field. The Sodom and Gomorrah was known as being just a totally wholesome place.
Yeah.
Oh, I was teasing. No, Sodom and Gomorrah was a terrible place. Can you imagine if you have guests that knock on your door? Let me just choose somebody as an example. Dennis and Judith. You get some guests that knock on your door. Oh, come on in. Let me feed you. And then all of your neighbors come over. Give us your guests so that we can lay with them. You're like, whoa, no way. That was the culture that they lived in. But rather, here, take my daughter. What in the world? The depravity of that culture. You see, small compromise plus small compromise plus small compromise and on led to huge compromise. That's where Sodom and Gomorrah came in. We're in the days now of small compromise from 1971, 1972, 1980, on and on to here we are now. We have a huge compromise in our culture that we're pushing against. Historically, they have not found the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was destroyed, right? Chuck Misser was talking about how Sodom and Gomorrah most likely is in the Dead Sea. Fascinatingly enough, when you have Lot and Abram says, here's this land, the valley of the Jordan, or here's this land, Hebron. You pick and you can have it, because they were splitting up the family because of conflict as they grew so big. And Lot looked down at the valley of Jordan and saw that it was pleasant, and he took it. Now, the Valley of Jordan is what comes out of the Sea of Galilee and flows into what's now the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has no outlet. The Dead Sea is very salty. When Lot and his family fled, as they were warned by the angels to do so, the city was destroyed, and Lot's wife, her name is Pilar. Pillar of salt. She looked back, but that's my home. She was assaulted. by the Lord. Totally charred.
Yeah.
Well, so Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was three other cities that were likened to them. However, Sodom and Gomorrah were the bigger ones. It would be like incorporating Crowley into Mammoth Lakes and saying, judgment happened to Mammoth Lakes. You know, we'd be part of that. So Sodom and Gomorrah, most likely right there in that northern part of the Dead Sea, where now it's covered with water and salty. Goodness gracious. That happened to a culture. They were totally destroyed. That happened to the culture in the days of Noah. They were totally destroyed when unrighteousness prevailed. And so here's my plea as a body, as family, as friends. The plea is we have to stand up for righteousness. And how we do that is living within the boundaries that God set in this book. His boundaries are for life. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue, have dominion. His boundaries for us are life. And the enemy twists all of it to say, submit to Mother Earth, leave it alone, don't multiply, kill the kids, and you can choose whatever you want because it doesn't lead to life. It only leads to death. We are the opposition force.
Amen.
We stand up for truth and righteousness and life. So, Maximus Decimus Aurelius. What's the gladiator's name? His character in the movie.
Russell Crowe,
yeah. Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the Felix Legions, armies of the North. He stood up. No! I don't remember all he said. And like Braveheart too. He stood up. It just took one man. And if you need blue paint, I've got blue face paint. It takes one man to lead a charge, but imagine if you have a whole community to lead the charge. How much more effective will that be? You see, if one can slay 1,000 and two can slay 10,000, how about all of us? How many works of the enemy can we throw down and destroy in our prayer and supplication? And we can do it. So pray. Our life depends on it. Pray. Pray. Pray for the peace of Israel. Because blessed is the one who does. That just makes sense. It's like 1 + 1 = 2. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for mercy over our nation. Pray for righteousness. Our God has big ears. He loves to hear when we talk to him as his kids. Amen.
Yes.
And the fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. So let's live in the boundaries. Let's fight for those boundaries. Let's fight for life. Stand up for truth. And do not be afraid to be knocked over by the bullies and the Goliaths of this world. Because all it takes is one small stone. We can knock them down. We have God on our side. Patrick, are you still back there? So this is going to be an overwhelming, it's an overwhelming force. Like when we got to this meeting, the opposition was so heavy this last Tuesday to push against this agenda. But God made a way for us to speak the truth. Yep.
You hate evil.
Yes.
Evil. Love
hate evil. Love. Yes. Go for it.
I just want to say that Adam fell. That's the same with the same thing. He fell. Jesus is the new Adam.
Yes.
He restored everything. All the authority that was given to Adam has been given back to us. And if we don't step into that place, we're not going to see the power of God on the earth. It says the hope of glory is Christ in us, and we have to raise up. And our words are anointed. Our words are anointed with power and authority. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Listen.
Yes.
This is not the time to back up. I mean, in the marketplace, you don't have to tell somebody.
agenda is really just necessary. No. Talk to them about the power and authority and the salvation of God. That we're not.
Yeah.
Just like Ephesians, it says three times, by grace you have been saved unto righteousness, not of your works that anyone should boast. We've got to know that, listen, we're not going to be perfect.
Amen.
It says be perfect as your Father is perfect.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we're only perfect in Christ.
Yeah.
But we can battle the enemy. We can fight the enemy and we will win.
Yeah. So, Tuesday night prayer and bishop? Not this week, but the following. Yes. Awesome. And Thursday at Penny's. And Tuesday. Come on. Well, guys, so our best friend, our loving Savior, said, all of us, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And our best friend says yet again in John 10:10. Come on. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So we are on the team of life. And therefore we fight for life. Yeah.
We worship you, we lift our eyes to you. Have your way in us, Lord, in everything. Oh, you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I would.